I live? Welcome, welcome, welcome to the second hour of the War Room. I am your embattled host, Rex Jones, leading you through today's broadcast. We got Jose Vega joining us in the next segment, running against Richie Torres in New York's 12th Congressional District. We're looking forward to having that conversation. But I want to give you the rundown, true to the show's name, of the war and what's happening right now. As of the morning of June 10th, 2026, the broader 2026 Iran war remains in a fragile, repeatedly tested ceasefire phase since early April. No, we're back in total war. See the misinformation in this already? President Trump posted on Truth Social that Iran has taken too long to negotiate a deal that would have been great for them and will have to pay a price. He described Iran's military as a complete and total mess, all talk and no action, and completely defeated with much of its Navy and Air Force gone. So, with the clips we just watched in the first hour, with everything that we just reviewed, he says their military is totally obliterated and gone. Well, they hit us with the drone, apparently, right? So that would mean that their military isn't completely and totally gone, and that would mean that somebody's lying and that their name or their initials, rather, are probably DJT. Recent military activity, the U.S. and Iran have exchanged strikes. Iran reportedly targeted U.S. assets, 5th Fleet bases in Jordan. The U.S. responded to apparently a downed helicopter drone incident with hits on Iranian radar and air defenses. No full resumption of major war reported. So that's BS. That's garbage. That's not real. The war has resumed. The war never stopped. The war is happening right now. Now, it can be argued, well, it's from the air. It's an air campaign. It's a bombing campaign. It's a missile campaign. Is that really a war? Is it just a prolonged conflict? Well, it's going to reach a point where we literally run out of bombs, right? We'll never run out of ones to fire. We'll always be able to make those. Look at Vietnam as an example. But the ones that we use to defend ourselves, I want to make this very clear if people understand. A Patriot missile costs between $3 to $4 million, and a THAAD, air defense battery, the really advanced ones, they cost between, I think, $12 and $20 million, right? Not to mention the radar systems that cost anywhere between How much are they worth? I think it's $300 million or $600 million. I was almost going to say billion. I was like, that's the wrong order of magnitude. That's not correct. They've hit like look up the exact number of how many radar systems they've hit. Our THAAD batteries, our Patriot batteries, basically can't operate without these things. And when I show you that big number last segment, when we get into the Iran war, and we're talking about the cost to you, the American taxpayer, the American people, the $107 billion, that doesn't even take into account, like I'm talking about right now, the missile and radar defense system. So, of course, you know, this is so crazy because I thought it would actually give a good rundown. I can give a better rundown just based off the knowledge that I know. We've been hammering the islands. We've been hitting Kesham Island as well. All of this stuff is happening. I heard Anthony Aguilar describe it as, you know, you're getting ready for dinner. So you set the table, you put the napkins out, you put the utensils out, you get the cups, you get the water, maybe get the appetizers, set it on the table. And then, well, what's going to happen? You're about to eat dinner. Or maybe it was Larry Johnson. I forget. That's what's happening right now. We've got a movement of airborne troops, people that have been deployed for a very long time, forward deployed. So what's going to happen with this coalescence of forces that are in West Asia, that are in the Levant? Well, obviously nothing good. Obviously, the only thing that would be good they could do would be to leave. Right? We all know this. In fact, that's what we voted for in 2024. At least what we thought we were voting for. They probably gonna die. They probably gonna die in ground invasion. And I'm not happy about that. I don't support that. I've been open about that from day one. Of course, I'm anti-war and I despise the war. But the notion of a ground invasion, like Lindsey Graham famously, see if you can find this really quick. It's probably a classic clip. I know you guys have it. We did Iwo Jima, or if we could do Iwo Jima, we can do this. That is the mindset. I believe it. It's look at how many soldiers we lost at Iwo Jima. Go ahead and get that up. And this is the guy that just won, to take a callback to like the first 5 minutes of the show when we're talking. This is the guy that just won the election. If we can do Iwo Jima, we can do this. Throw it up on the screen when you have the number. How many American soldiers, how many Marines and sailors died on that godforsaken island? How many Americans died? Should be an easy stat for us to see when we come in next segment. Thank you so much. On the War Room, Rex Jones.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum's been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShow Live. We'll be right back.
Lindsey Graham is coming for your sons and daughters. Get ready.
Today on The War Room, we're talking about that and a lot more. I was just getting into, you know, the warmongering neocon behavior. We're going to have a guest on here very shortly who's very against all of that stuff and really breaks it down, lays down the law, and does man-on-the-street confrontations with the very man that he's running against. Of course, I'm referring to the illustrious Jose Vega, who's running against Richie Torres in New York's 12th Congressional District. So we've got him. We were talking about Iwo Jima, right? Because Lindsey Graham famously said, if we could do Iwo Jima, we could do this, referring to taking Karg Island. So go ahead and throw that number up again. Let's see how many Americans died. It's always a cute and cuddly number. You know, this is what Lady Graham supports. This is what people voted for in South Carolina. During the 36-day Battle of Iwo Jima, that's just men constantly dying, nearly 27,000 men died, approximately 6,821 U.S. servicemen, mostly Marines, like the Marines we would send in now to take Karg Island, to take those beaches and airfields, and Army Rangers as well, of course, and paratroopers, estimated 18,000 to 22,000 Japanese soldiers. There ain't even going to be Japanese soldiers to fight. It's literally going to be Americans getting off boats, getting off planes, getting off helicopters, and then come back to me. The Shahid drone, the Shahid drone, the demonic lawnmower just going, and you can listen to a true military man like Anthony Aguilar or Joe Kent talk about it. These troops, they don't just get there in isolation. They have to be restocked and resupplied. They have to have things coming to them to survive out there. It's 105 degrees. It's over 40 degrees Celsius. So they're just going to be getting bombed, taking meaningless land. Ron doesn't care. Hey, take this for a few weeks, a few months, whatever. We have enough bombs to bomb you for the rest of the year. So what is the calculation being made? It's certainly not a calculation made on our benefit or on our behalf. It's certainly a calculation made on a foreign government, a foreign power that wants that war to happen at all costs. And I want to remind you, that's why left, right, center, I don't care. I'll support any political candidate that's anti-war and can prove they're anti-war. That has a true justification, like take a Joe Kent, for example, like my wife, and Lord have mercy, died in a war manufactured by Israel. That's what it says in the letter. And people say, whatever, work for the CIA, blah, blah, blah. I trust that. It doesn't get more real than that. The same way you have to look at somebody like Jose Vega, who's out there on the street, and he's willing to go to these people, to go to these neocons, to go to Richie Torres, to go to these big events, and to call out the big money. Because, hey, calling out the big money and calling out who's starting all the wars, that ain't good for your life, ain't good for your career. Let's go ahead and go to this Jose Vega clip. Once again, the Democratic Party is about to send another $8 billion aid package to the Nazis in Ukraine. Congressman Gregory Meeks has proudly introduced the Ukraine Support Act. He wants to allocate another $8 billion so we don't have to spend in what is actually an expanding NATO war in Russia. We must defeat the war party and declare of independence. We'll cut to that shortly. Of course we're giving.
You give me more money, people forget about Ukraine because no war start, but I am Zelensky. I will tell on Lindsey Graham for, you know, killing a prostitute allegedly.
That's just a joke, or I don't want to get sued. That's a total joke, doing a Zelensky impression.
You know, but we need the $8 billion and we need nuclear weapon.
It's literally like a supervillain or like Gru from Despicable Me, and we're giving him money. Zelensky is like a Kevin Spacey type character. Literally, he played the president on TV and then got the job because people voted for him on that basis of trusting him. You cannot make this stuff up. Of course, he's a CIA creation, a Victoria Nuland creation, a John McCain creation. You can literally watch. See if you can pull this up, crew. Just one of the many things I've asked for today, and I apologize for being so scrambled, but the rundown's a little bit janky today. See if you can find John McCain, Victoria Nuland, and all the rest of them sitting up in the Ukrainian high-rises watching and laughing as the Maidan coup is happening and as the city is burning down and as the neo-Nazis are taking power. And this is where we can have true left and right unity because, you know, here's the deal. We shouldn't be in this war with Russia, this proxy war with Russia. When we complain about the Russians and Chinese helping Iran, well, it's the pot calling the kettle black. We're helping Ukraine with all the targeting, all of it, deep inside of Russia. Dad interviews Victor Boot about that all the time. And I had a Ukrainian journalist on. I had a guy on the Gray Area show. And I highly recommend everyone go subscribes to Gray Area. That's Gray Area Talks on YouTube and Rumble. Also on X, the same name, New American Journal as well on Rumble X. Go find it. It's all linked to me. And he's like, yeah, well, the Russians have lost way more people. Not true. Obviously not true. And, well, you know, the thing he really, I got to call BS on this, and we'll have him back on, so I'll talk to him about it. He said the Oreshnik is just a thing that kind of explodes and doesn't do anything. The Oreshnik is a nuclear-capable MIRV missile, okay, that we can't stop that moves at Mach 10. All right, so it's not nothing. And when they display it or when they use it on a target, they're saying, hey, we can touch you. And if we can touch you with this, we can hit you with this for real. So whenever somebody has an agenda that coalesces with the Kevin Spacey House of Cards president of Ukraine, I have to call BS. And from the perspective of Putin, you can watch Putin, Lavrov, Medvedev talk about it. They say, listen, this is a Cuban Missile Crisis 2.0. NATO cannot promise not to expand one more inch, which they did, and then absorb 12 more countries and then move up right to our border. Where do they have the second most NATO exercises out of any country? Ukraine, which is not a NATO country, but it's a pseudo NATO country. And that's all that matters. Let's go ahead and go to the Vega clip.
$8 billion are about to be sent to Ukrainian neo-Nazis. I am not kidding. My name is Jose Vega. I'm running for Congress in the 15th Congressional District. And yes, you heard me right. Democrats are sending money to neo-Nazis. They're the ones proposing this. There's a game that's being played in the Congress right now. Congressman Gregory Meeks has proudly introduced the Ukraine Support Act. He wants to send $8 billion that we do not have, that we will have to borrow to spend in order to help NATO in its war against Russia. This is genius, isn't it? So we're supposed to keep funneling money into what's become an expanded NATO conflict with Russia, including British, American, and other special forces that are on the ground there now, even as Russia moves to the final phases of the war. It's winning on the battlefield and in the air. See, the British media is saying the opposite. On May 27th, Reuters ran this headline, exclusive, senior Ukrainian commander sees imminent turning point in war. That senior commander, Andrei Belitsky. Andrei Belitsky is the founder of the Azov Battalion. Here's a quote from him. All our nationalism is nothing. A castle on the sand, without relying on the foundation of blood, the foundation of race, and our deep conviction. All this is only derived from our race, our racial nature. Accordingly, the treatment of our national body should begin with racial cleansing of the nation. Ukrainians are part and one of the largest and highest quality of the European white race. The historical mission of our nation in this
important for people to understand, they view the Russians, just like Hitler viewed the Russians, as Untermenschen, as subhuman, right? So they're, in their mind, you know, they're doing the war to protect their homeland and kill all the subhumans. So, you know, just like the terrorists we back in the Middle East, just like the Israelis who want to build the third temple and have the Greater Israel Project, we just seem to love these like radical, like ethno-supremacist, like theocratic terrorist groups, don't we? And we seem to like sell the narrative of like, especially on the left, they're like, we need to be liberal and loving and give all the money to Ukraine. And that, like I would talk about that as like Vega is running against a lot of Democrats right now. And you look at it and you're like, lady, you say you're against colonialism. You say white people are bad. You don't care about the genocide that's happening in Gaza right now. You don't care about this brother war that's going on in Russia and Ukraine. And like they're brown in Palestine. They're brown in the Middle East. You don't care about them. Oh, no, no, no. The white man in America is so bad, so evil, so whatever. But oh, no, no, I'm a Zionist as well. And you're like, what? And that's the thing is like the cognitive dissonance in people, it's either been programmed in them or they're just that ignorant or they're just that dumb. And I had a boomer debate yesterday, and it'll come out in a few days. And the lady is not a boomer, but like I say, you don't have to be a boomer to be a boomer, and not all boomers, hashtag not all boomers, hashtag boomer lives matter, hashtag please don't attack me old people in the street. Because I do love you. I really do. She's like, well, I'm a Gen X, whatever. And that makes me older than you, young man. And I have more life experience. And like the nature of the debate was like, are boomers responsible for today's economy? And I took the affirmative. I'm like, yes, the past 30 years, dominant voting bloc. They voted for all the new wars. Bill Clinton became president and was the first guy to actually lower the national debt. Boomers presided over the period where we had massive wars and expansion following that. After that, they've held on to power much longer compared to other generations as well. All of it. And she just goes, well, you just don't know about astrology. You just don't know about the stars and the signs and the colors. And I'm like, woman, do you smoke crack? Are you high right now? I said this, and I tried to light one up and blaze one in the studio to show her just how ridiculous she was, because I'm laughing at it. This is supposed to be a serious debate, and you're talking to me about astrology and the age of Aquarius, and that's why, you know, the boomers have no moral culpability for what they voted for and what they've done. And I'm like, huh, this sounds an awful lot like when I was talking about people shooting into crowds, the IDF shooting into crowds at the people going to the aid centers, the Gazans, the innocent civilians. That sounds like when I told the boomer that, the boomer just goes, hey, it's life in living color. It's not shades of black and white. And what is it? Just like the astrology, it's magic. It's meaningless bullshit. Really bad habits from streaming early in the morning. I will say I have been finding myself wanting to curse a little bit, but it's all meaningless garbage that's designed to be a cop out for somebody so they can have cognitive dissonance, right? So like when you watch a Marvel movie, you obviously don't believe that Captain America can jump over like a 12-foot wall and could throw his shield through like three cars or whatever, right? But you're able to, in the movie, say, okay, they did the super science experiment on him, gave him the super soldier serum. Now he is Captain America and he can do these things. That's the same way with these people's worldview, whether it's, you know, worship stolen valor from World War II, what their parents did, or it's, you know, some weird magic thing or whatever. They don't want to look at it. Okay. There's an 800-pound gorilla elephant in the room, whatever you want to call it. These people don't want to look at it. So we're going to have Jose Vega on very soon. Really looking forward to having him on. Like I said, give exposition there. I want to get into a bit more news here. Let's talk about news. All right, let's talk about, well, news. Because we're the real news. I'm the real news. Alex is the real news. Tucker is the real news. Like, that's what Nick Fuentes is real news. Joe Kent is the real news. Dialogue Works is the real news. Judge Napolitano is the real news. Glenn Deason is the real news. Daniel Davis Deep Dive is the real news. Larry Johnson is the real news. Pepe Escobar is the real news. Danny Heifog is the real news. That's the real news. But let's get into the fake news, because it's very interesting. Like I say always, InfoWars, a company that was so successful and literally spent all of its profit, all of its money on its growth, which is why it was that successful, versus these lost leaders that literally, you know, CNN just gets sold over and over and over and over again because it's garbage. It's garbage. It's trash, as they would say in New York, as Larry David would say it or whatever, right? It's hot garbage. And now we got Barry Weiss running the show, apparently. I'm going to read this. CBS boss Barry Weiss posed to oversee CNN editorial operations report. Ben Sherwood, currently CEO of the Daily Beast, another failed publication, and a former CBS president David Rhodes are also under consideration, according to the report. She gonna get the deal. She gonna get the money. This woman got like $100 million. She got like a Rogan ass deal off of having a show where she got like 11,000 live views. Not live views, like views in general. Like having putting out videos, you get 10K views, and you get paid $100 million. By that logic, my dad should be a trillionaire. Based off our old YouTube channel with billions of views, right? But of course, you know, she's been put in that position because it's what she's been given. She's an empty suit or an empty dress, whatever you want to call it, man or woman. A CNN spokesperson declined to comment. The Post has sought comment from Oppenheim, Sherwood, and NBC News. Spokespeople declined to comment. All five candidates have extensive experience running large news organizations. What does that mean? Just being a funnel for like the CIA and the Mossad and whatever they want to push on the people? Their experience running a large news organization, their experience pretending to work, pretending to send emails, sitting in a suit, and the guy comes in with files and says, here's what you read off the teleprompter. And she goes, rubber stamp, rubber stamp, rubber stamp, rubber stamp. I'm Barry Weiss, rubber stamp, rubber stamp, rubber stamp. It's not a real job, okay? It's not a real job. When your tiny little crappy podcast gets bought out for like $140 million or whatever it was, it's around there, similar number. And, you know, you just get infinite media jobs. And not only are you running CBS, but now you're going to run CNN. You're clearly somebody's baseball card. You're clearly somebody that's been put into that position because of what you're willing to do for the system, for the organization. And of course, the organization is not the company and is not even the multiple companies that you're working for. It's the grand overarching desire to control our media, control our speech, control what you see, control what is normalized, control what is hated, control what is loved. That is why these people are in this game. They're not in this game like I am because I was 8 years old, you know, watching people do this stuff and I was inspired to do it. And I was talented enough to actualize it and make it happen. That's not why they're in the chair. She's not even in the chair. She's behind the scenes running the people that are scamming you, that are reading off a teleprompter and lying to you, that are the recipients of big pharma ads, of big ag ads, of big data center ads. That's the money. That's where she gets her money from. All we ever did was sell you a darn supplement bottle. And we're the criminals. We're the grifters. Give me a break. We got organic love. We got a big crew, a grand fleet. These people have nothing. They couldn't get 10 people to fight for them if they asked. I go to any city in the country, and if my car was broke down or if I couldn't afford to eat, I could go to a small restaurant. I could find somebody with a t-shirt or just kind of look the right way, and I could get some help because we're a family, and we're together, and we have that relationship because you've known me all your life. You've known me since I was 8 years old, since I was younger, since I was six, doing my first audio stuff on the show, you name it. Like 17 years, guys. I know you. You know me. You don't know them. And that's why they want to get rid of people like us that have that original connection to you. They want to separate it, make it all corporatized, and they want to make the millennials the new boomers, the Gen X the new boomers. Oh, it's moderated now. It's free speech. She's for free speech. Oh, but she denies the genocide. She denies the war crimes. She covers it up. She's paid huge money by David and Larry Ellison to, you know, to be in this appointed position that she put that out. Crud, I guess I should say. I should be the Fox News director, I guess, or the CNN director, or the CBS director, because I have so much more experience, right? Because I actually have to do the job. I actually have to prep the show. I have to actually do the show. I actually have to practice what I preach. And there's a screen right there where I can see my face in the supplement bottle, what's mirrored in front of me. There ain't no teleprompter. I got articles on the table that I'll reference that I've gone over that are printed out. I am talking directly to you 24/7 live time mind muscle connection. All right. These people don't know what that means. They got no concept of it. They got no concept of being the man in the arena or being the woman in the arena or being the whatever in the arena because they're not in the arena. They're in the expensive box seats. Okay. And they're trying to get rid of all of us real people. That includes you, the audience listening to us, because when you're their audience, you won't be real people anymore. You will be cattle to be farmed. Epstein says it in the emails. He calls you goyim. Okay, that is what you are to these people, and that is not an exaggeration. You do not deserve the right to use as much AI computing as they do. You do not deserve the right to enjoy the benefits of all the war crimes like they do. You do not deserve the right to have access to the truth and the real information like they do. You are just somebody that they're going to lie to. They're going to show you a Pfizer ad, and they're going to get paid $500 million, whereas I have to bust my butt. Grind literally all the days of my life to sell supplements, to sell apparel, just so that we can fund the broadcast and keep the little flame alive. And when people criticize us about plugging and what we do on air, and I encourage you right now, go to thealexjonesstore.com to check out all the phenomenal deals, apparel, supplements we got for you. When people criticize us for doing that, nothing makes me angrier because you don't understand. You truly don't get it, do you? We are our own sponsor. That's what makes us real. That's what makes you fake. All the people with news articles and news clips on the nightly news talking about us all my life, all these people were given what they have. They're empty suits. They have no talent. I can go sing for my supper. I go do stand-up comedy. I can go do whatever, right? They can't do anything because they're not talented. So why do we have people that aren't talented? Why do we have people that aren't capable? Why don't we have people that aren't real? Why do we have these people running our government? Why can't it be somebody with real business experience, with real military experience, with real educational experience, real geopolitical experience? Why can't we have the leadership that we deserve as a country? I think we can. That's why I advocate on both sides of the political spectrum for candidates like Joe Kent, candidates like Jose Vega, and many other people who are running or may run in the future that I encourage to do, because we all got to unite on the prospect of saving our country from another forever war. I want to remind you again, Lindsey Graham, Iwo Jima clip. Let's go ahead and roll that when we have it. If we can do Iwo Jima, we can do this.
program has been obliterated, and they're running out of money. So here's what I tell President Trump. Keep it up for a few more weeks. Take Karg Island, where all of the resources they have to produce oil, control that island, let this regime die on a vine.
Is this going to, though, take Karg Island? Is it going to involve U.S. troops on the ground? Let me just read you something from the Atlantic. Does an assessment on that. They say U.S. troops may well take Karg Island. We believe their ability to do so, but only to endure ballistic missile strikes, drone attacks, petrochemical smoke, all without a reliable means of obtaining logistical support. The result could be a grinding war of attrition. They talk about how far away they would be from resupply.
I'm sort of tired of all this armchair quarterbacking. This has been an amazing military operation. God bless the fallen.
But it's a difference when we talk about troops on the ground.
God bless the fallen. So that's what he has to say to you if you're the family of an American, you know, that died in these attacks, or you're for one of the Americans. God bless the fallen. Of course, the God that Lindsey Graham serves, the God that wants wars, debt, and death across the world, across the entire planet, is, of course, Satan or Beelzebub or Belial or one of these names that's used in the Bible. This is the wicked witch of the West that rides a bubble wand in on the wave of the Great Depression that hits the country. I tend to think that history rhymes. I tend to think that there's no reason for 2029 to be any different than 1929. Of course, what happened in 1929, the Great Depression. I think right now we're really in a gilded age. I think it's never been more apparent to people. The wealth disparity and wealth gap, the difference between rich and poor and what that means for how you can live in this country has never been more different. The boomers will deny this. The boomers will lie to you about this because they know. They know about their $50 rent. They know about, you know, their $25 grocery bill. They know about these things. Even people, you know, that were around in the 90s and remember what it was like to spend money back then. Again, for both the younger people and the older people out there, I am a Zoomer. I am 23 years old. I am bald as hell, but I am very young. Okay? There are people my age that had dreams that I knew that are now dead, that have OD'd, that have gone to jail, that have gone insane, that have committed crimes, you name it. You told the graduating class of 2020, hey, buckle up, buckaroo, better pull up those bootstraps and get ready because you're going to survive COVID. No, it's so much harder for us. And now you're telling those same kids they got to support a war, they got to go fight and die in a war, they got to go spend $200 billion in a war. We ain't taking it. We ain't taking it. And that message to anybody that hears me, anybody that will listen, your goal is to go out there, whether that's today, tomorrow, the rest of the days of your life until we fix this problem. Talk to 5, 10, 15, 20 people a day. Message them links to the show, all of the shows. Tell them about the information. Those resources I gave earlier, Dialogue Works, Judge Napolitano, and Glenn Deason. I would send those videos to anybody and everybody in your family. Wake them up now. We must start the cascade that flows like crushing water and drowns the fire. The burning hell pit that has become the United States of America and the U.S.-Israeli Empire. We have to pour the water on it, and the water is being informed and drowning out the ignorance with the truth. That's what we have to reach as a nation. So people talk about talking, talk about yapping, talk about whatever, whether it's going out there and running for a political office, whether it's going out there and starting a Substack, an article thing, whether that's going out there and doing a show yourself, whether that's out there like Timothy Lassley doing the street protesting right in front of the Bill Gates Center. Any and all of it, man on the street reporting, you know, interviewing regular people, talking to them about the economy, talking to them about life, sharing your expertise. Hey, maybe I'm a plumber, maybe I'm a welder, maybe I'm a farmer. Maybe more people need to learn about being self-sufficient, you know, like we were back in the earlier times where, you know, a crisis might have been more survivable. So it's up to everybody, depending on what you can do, to go out there and share the most powerful resource that you have, which is your information. Okay? And that's why I come on the show and I tell you, you're not going crazy. You haven't been psyoped. It's not MAGA forever. MAGA is fine. MAGA is what we voted for. MAGA is peace. MAGA was liberty. That's the promise. MAGA was not forever wars. MAGA was not endless debt. I know you remember that. I remember it as well. We're going to come back to that with Jose Vega here in the next segment.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its businesses?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like six or seven times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that You know, the U.S. never does it. But we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything, and on the banking system.
And let's be clear, though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get-out-of-jail-free card, right? We could print as much money as we want, and everybody around the world still needed the U.S. dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country, other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository. If you don't want to take delivery of it at home, we'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery rounds.
But then you can roll over the financial instruments, too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire as funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Dr. Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation. Or sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment the last 2+ years. And you can just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You can sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Something that I've been really enjoying doing over the restart of my media career is interviewing independent political candidates, you know, whether they may identify as Republican nominally or Democrat nominally. What we really all agree on is stopping the wars, stopping the spending, and stopping the genocide. I want to introduce to you guys, you may have seen him on with Harrison before, the great Jose Vega, who is running against Lindsey Graham, kind of on the reverse side of the coin, a Richie Torres, a man that currently doesn't represent the 12th District of New York. So I'm being joined by Jose Vega. Jose, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Rex. I'm sorry I'm in an awkward position. I just finished doing Univision, which is a major broadcasting TV station.
Beautiful.
Here, which was so we're in the big leagues, but I couldn't get to my studio back on time. So I was like, but I got to do this. I'm here for it. I'm here for you, man. And thanks for having me on. And thanks to the audience for hearing me out.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. Look, we're both in suits. We're both in jackets. Look how professional I am. You saw me waddling around my Hawaiian shirts and stuff like Larry Johnson. But, you know, my dad said, you want to host, you got to wear the tie. So I even got that.
Oh, maybe, you got the tie too.
Yeah, maybe he wants to adopt Fuentes over me. I don't know. But I'm in a suit now. Okay, so you got to love me. Got to love me, Dad. We're going to get into it all. You're somebody that I want to expose people to because we kind of get trapped in this mindset of left, right, like you're a donkey, you're an elephant. And we say no, like you're a human being, of course. But, you know, you have to run against these candidates in these elections. Break down kind of what that's like from you as an outsider going against real, like entrenched power in the form of Richie Torres.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I didn't actually start by becoming a political candidate. I was known for confronting politicians. And I didn't care what you were, whether you were AOC, who was voting to send money to Ukrainian neo-Nazis, or you were Mike Pompeo, who was responsible for killing people like Soleimani, or you were just any bloodthirsty neocon, or if you were a media figure like the New York Times, I confronted them. And I said, okay, I called those things interventions, and those videos went mega viral, and they would even be translated internationally. I was like, all right, now is the next formation of that. Now, what's the next evolution of that? I was like, let's take that principle into the electoral system. I believe that anybody should be able to run regardless of their money, regardless of their status. I believe that you should be able to harness the principles of this country that founded this country. We're on the eve of the 250th anniversary of the founding of this country. I said, let's take that principle that all men are created equal and that we are endowed by our creators unalienable rights. And among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yes. So I'm going up against this guy named Richie Torres, whose coffers are full of AIPAC money, Wall Street money, crypto money, just the worst kind of money is behind this congressman. And I'm coming in there as a complete outsider. I'm not even associated with any, you know, approved leftist, quote unquote, approved. I'm not DSA, right? I'm not PSL. I'm just your average schmo who said, I don't trust anyone to represent me but me. And it has been exhilarating. People have tried to buy me, literally. I've had people who brought me to meetings who said, Jose, how about we advance your career in exchange for you dropping out of this race?
Wow.
That's how serious it's gotten. I've had people slander me. I've had the top bigwigs of the Democratic Party, which I believe is the same thing as the Republican Party.
Yes, yes.
Slander the crap out of me and spread that I'm an anti-Semite around the Bronx. And they even threw in another candidate in the race to try to split the vote. And despite it all, we are still successful in our attempts. We go around the Bronx and we knock on doors and people recognize our name. People know who we are. And win or lose the Democratic primary, we're still going to be on the ballot for the November election because we qualified to run as both Democrats and independents. Because we're not Democrats. We're not Republicans. We're independent. And like you, I'm tired of this left-right dynamic. Yes. I want to do what's right. I want to bring the tension directly to people. And if that means I got to run in the Democratic primary to reach people, as I was able to do, I was able to have debates. I was able to go on Univision today. And also keeping to that principle of independent and get the signatures required to be on an independent ballot, we did that too.
Wow.
And so here we are on the 2 weeks of the primary. You know, there's 13 days left until voting day. Early voting starts this Saturday. We're about to flood the entire Bronx with our literature, our posters, our faces. You know, that is the operation that we're doing. Yeah, go ahead.
InfoWar, that's what it is, right? And you have to make that grassroots, ground-level connection with people. You're essentially running against like a NASCAR or like the trunks on like an old UFC fighter, right? Like the person should have, you know, different patches and sponsorships and it all outlined. And then you're just you. You're just like, hey, I just want real change. I'm just a normal guy from the Bronx trying to actualize what I want based off the founding principles of our country. It's so crazy. We're at that America First United event, and I've never seen a group of people that pretend to, you know, love the Constitution, worship the Constitution, attack somebody more for just talking about the nation and referencing, you know, Declaration of Independence, constitutional documents. It was truly crazy to me. You're somebody that really, you know, in me as well, it kills the notion of, you know, the left-right divide, left-right paradigm. When I, the son of Alex Jones, you know, raised in this right-wing ecosystem, my favorite show is Due Dissonance. What? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like we can break this, people. It doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be, oh, Democrat, oh, Republican. How about American? How about peace? How about freedom? How about what was promised, right? They have to attach the label to it. They have to say Democrat or Republican, because Democrat or Republican, whenever they go in, they fail on the policy they promised. They say, oh, if you notice that, you're the opposite of us and you're not us anymore. You're not a part of the team. So it's all kind of this big PSYOP scam. What are some of, you know, the funding groups, you kind of laid them out, like crypto, war lobby, obviously neocon type stuff. Who exactly is, or what exactly is Richie Torres as a corporate creation?
Yeah, well, he is exactly that. He's just an empty suit. You know, I found this out that in my district, which is the poorest congressional district in the entire country, by the way, the Bronx is the poorest congressional district in the entire country, only 3 miles away from Wall Street. And in that district, there is this group called NORPAC, N-O-R-P-A-C. And what are its goals? To further the relationship between Israel and the United States,
wow,
to keep the technology between them going, to keep that foreign policy together, and to keep creating, elected officials who will continue to vote to keep Israel and the United States united. That is in my district. Think about that, in the poorest congressional district in the country.
Wow.
And that's who helped bring Richie Torres and keeps him in power. And not
wow,
just him, but there's also, of course, AIPAC as well. And yes, the war lobby. And one point I really want to clarify to people is that the Democrats, who claim they're anti-war, could have brought a war powers resolution to the Congress at the end of March, just before they all went to Scotland. Cory Booker was seen in Hollywood during that break. And
right,
Gregory
right.
Meeks, who was the ranking Democrat of his committee, who could have brought this bill to the floor, the War Powers Resolution, he had the votes. Four Republicans were ready to vote with him. And he said, you know what? I'm just not going to bring it to the House floor. I mean, he was just completely disgusting. It goes to show you that Democrats want to prolong this war with Iran just as much as Republicans do, and that they are the same exact thing. They're the exact same thing. And I got to bring this up in a debate last night, which was shown to all, you know, the people who watch BronxNet, which is a sizable population of the people in my district, where my opponent kept trying to nail me for not being a real Democrat. And I said, yeah, because being a real Democrat today means you want war. It means you take AIPAC donations. It means you take war lobby donations,
yes,
and it means you want to overthrow, quote unquote, the Iranian regime.
Yes.
You know, so yeah, no. So
no, it's bizarre. And here's the thing. Like, you look at people on the left, these are people, you know, like if they're uninformed about what's going on, they're voting for the people that are pro-war just because they think that they're Democrats. Oh, that means that you're pro-peace. They don't understand that neo-Nazis took over Ukraine, and that Zelensky is literally like Kevin Spacey. He played the president on TV. We've given him like 200, 300 billion, whatever it is. All that's gone to, you know, collateral, like on both sides, 1.5 million people dead, right? So that's not being anti-war. That's not an anti-war position. In any one of these positions, we should be looking for peace and a compromise from day one, right? And that's never the attitude from people, whether they're on the left or on the right. It's the neocon spirit. Do you see a lot of that with people you talk to?
Yeah, and that's the sort of best thing about going into the Bronx, going up door to door, meeting people in the street, is that a lot of people are like, I've given up on voting because I know they're both the same thing.
Right.
Like, don't come to me telling me you're going to promise me posies and roses and rainbows and stuff. You know, I've heard that over and over again, year after year. I've given up on voting. Democrat, Republican, it's all the same thing to me. That's what the people say. And it's very refreshing when I can tell them, like, yeah, I agree with you. And not only do I agree with you, I'm here to disrupt the system.
Yes.
You know, and I just start calling out people who aren't even my opponent. I'm like, Hakeem Jeffries, you know, Democrats are expected to take the House back in November. One of the questions I get asked, it's like, are you going to endorse Hakeem Jeffries, who's the current House Minority Leader, as Speaker of the House? I said, he's no different than Mike Johnson.
Right.
They're the exact same thing, no matter what anybody says. And when people hear that, they're like, yeah, I do agree with that. Yeah, you know what? And here's the thing, right? A lot of people who are in agreement with me are registered independents. A lot of people don't know that. But the second largest voting group in the Bronx is not Republicans. It's independents.
Right.
So you have Democrats and then independents. And they don't even realize how powerful their vote is. So this November, if we don't take it in 2 weeks, this November can see a giant, giant sleeper wave come in where we upset not just Richie Torres, but the entire Democratic establishment. And we tap into that frustration and anger that the voters have in the Bronx who are fed up with people coming to them with the same old, I'll lower the rent, I'll make groceries cheaper. How about we completely overturn the entire government apparatus that has been hijacked?
Yes.
And let's make it work for you again.
Yes, no, absolutely. Putting the American people first instead of, you know, the war lobby, military industrial complex, surveillance state, or, you know, a foreign government, whatever that foreign government is, we don't care. We're Americans. We got to prioritize ourselves first because we're dying. I've been thinking about it. You know, just like I kind of write it off in my mind just because there's so many friends that have OD'd, friends that have gone to jail, friends that have lost everything due to just the past 5 years. And that includes both Trump and Biden, right? Both Trump and Biden. I've lost friends under both Trump and Biden now. So, you know, like, where's the promise of the future? Where's the promise of a, you know, a movement for the youth in America where they can actually afford to own a home, afford to, you know, have a nice car, afford to, you know, have a family, have children? Like, there's a lot of this talk, you know, of, you know, well, you know, we're kind of a modern society and people kind of live how they want to live, whatever. We need families. We need families to be able to afford to live, and they can't afford to live in this country. One of the videos you sent me, or one of the first videos I saw of you, forgive me, on Due Dissidence, was you're in this apartment and you've got this evil landlord or whatever, and literally the ceiling is falling down and like there's garbage water coming out. Talk to people about what it's like, you know, to be from, you know, where you're from and having to deal with some of these corrupt systems that politicians like this support.
Oh, yeah, man, that you know, is something that still irks me to this day because I had my ceiling collapse on me. I lived in a basement apartment in New York City in the Bronx, and my ceiling had collapsed in because there was sewage water that was pooling from the upstairs neighbors. It was pooling, and it became a big bubble, and then it all just crashed down. Yep, that's it. That's right. And, you know, that, and there was like these giant holes in my ceiling, and I was just like, this is just completely insane. You know, and so what I did was I went to my city councilman's office. I did what you're supposed to do, right? I went to him, and his thing was, okay, I'll help you initially by getting like a city agency to go out and inspect that. But like, realistically, he saw I was getting a lawyer. He saw I was, you know,
protecting
doing all
yourself.
The right things.
Yeah.
Yeah, he thought I was protecting myself. He then says to me, okay, man, I see you're really making headway with this. What if somebody approached you with $15,000 and you just let all this go?
Wow.
Just forget about it. And I was like, are you crazy? Like, what this landlord did, first of all, $15,000 in New York City, maybe that can afford a move.
Right.
You know, it's pretty expensive to live here, you know. But what that landlord did, not only does he need to be brought to justice, I know that there are other people in that same situation. And so when I refused the money, right, mind you, this was 2018. I was like barely 20 years old. He just said, okay, cool, fair enough. He calls my mom later that night, who her name is on the lease, and intimidates her. This is an elected official who intimidates my mother and says, hey, man, you know, if your son goes through with this lawsuit, no landlord's ever going to rent to you again in New York, and you'll never be able to live in New York again. So you really need to consider what your son's doing. Next thing I know, she pulls out of the lawsuit. She pulls out of the case. She doesn't want anything to do with it, and she no longer wants to fight this anymore and says, let's just find somewhere else to live. So we were homeless for a few months after that, you know, because of the intimidation that the city councilman and his staff had exhibited on us just because we were ready to fight the system. And that right there was when I knew, like, okay, you know, the system is designed to not support people like me who want to overturn it. I was supposed to just take the money, shut up, and go, right? And I didn't. And as a result, right, so now I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm coming back to speak for those people and the people that's happening to at every level. I try not to get bogged down by that and be like, oh, poor me. I got to remember, and everybody's got to remember, we do this for other people too.
Yes.
We do this because we are American. And what it means to be an American also is to stand up for people when they're being oppressed in the way they are.
Yes.
So I'm a big believer that freedom is the ability to make other people free. I'm a big believer that that's what freedom is. And that's what I intend to do with my race and what I'm doing now and everything that I'm doing.
Yes, I think it's very fair to say the American people need to be emancipated. right? Like, we have become debt slaves. That is what all of this is. And in the greatest country in the world, you shouldn't be in that situation, Jose. You should have a government and a society that's able to, you know, be strong enough to where you're able to take care of yourself and it can take care of you in certain aspects. And here's the thing. When it comes to social services, when it comes to programs, when it comes to things that we talk about, you look at the war spending and you look at the entitlement spending. If we were able to actually make real changes in government that prioritize the younger generations instead of the older, I think you would actually see, you know, a degree of optimism within the youth of saying, hey, you know, there's something promised to me. You know, when I was 15 years old and I'm working in the warehouse and I get my first paycheck and I'm like, what's Social Security? Like, why'd they take, you know, $250 away from me or however much they took? And it's like, oh, well, you're going to get that one day. No, I'm not. I'm not going to be getting that money. Somebody's getting that money, and it's not me. I think the youth of the country, not just from the economic perspective, like, hey, I'm paying in this program. I may be for social programs, but I'm not necessarily going to get it. When you combine that with you're going to pay into a program you're never going to get. You're going to go fight off in a war that you didn't get a choice in fighting in. You're going to go watch your friends and family become homeless, drug addicted, psychotic, whatever, because the society doesn't have a safety net there to take care of them. Like, you're going to watch total and utter hell. And for what? To, you know, say we got a big military and that we're tough. That doesn't matter. People want to eat. And I think you understand that. Tell people where they can find you as well. I want to be clear. Let's get his website up. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I'm a big believer also that government should actually work for people, sort of like what you were just laying out here. And I have a program called the Space Civilian Construction Corps, which people can read more about on my website at folkvega.nyc, where the idea is you take people who are between the ages of 18 to 30 years old, who either are high school graduates, high school dropouts, people who are college graduates, college dropouts, or even juvenile delinquents or nonviolent offenders. And the idea is that they go through a 2-year work program with the Army Corps of Engineers and with retired union leaders, and they learn how to be engineers. They learn how to be machinists. They learn how to be the carpenters, the electricians, and to work on some of the most advanced scientific mechanical engineering principles that they can, you know, get their hands on and learn. How to master so that they can better society for all of us. Now, that's an example of government working for the people and the people working for the country as a whole. Because if the government is providing a program where people can actually get these practical skills, then it's the people that are building the cities that need to be built.
Yes.
There we go. That's my policy. It's the people, you know, building
human capital,
hospitals,
human capital. Yes. No, 100%. And I'll go into that a little bit. This is so important to understand. The reason why we invented the plane, the car, the internet, all of these things is because we truly had the greatest engineers, greatest technicians, greatest artisans of the world, masters of their craft. And if you look at the way this country has been hollowed out, nobody knows how to do these trades or do these tasks anymore. And it's so vital. People start learning. We have to become elite human capital. What do you think, Jose?
Yeah. And that's like how we're going to create what people have this idea of generational wealth. It shouldn't just be restricted to just your own family. It should be thought about in terms of a nationwide thing. You know, George Washington had this idea that we shouldn't be so divided and that we should strive for national unity. And we should care about what the future of our country actually looks like. And so us as Americans should decide, what does the generational wealth for the rest of humanity look like, for the rest of the 500 years after we're dead look like? And that's the sort of direction that we should be uniting behind. And that's how you can build real talent and really develop people's creative skills so that they can become better than what we could have ever imagined we could have been.
Okay, I got a follow-up to that. So you're talking about creative skills, and they come in a wide variety of forms. Something that I always advocate for is for people to go do citizen journalism, man on the street stuff. We referenced that at the beginning of the interview. We talked about a little bit at the top of the segment, at the bottom of the hour. The reality is, yeah, it might feel uncomfortable, nervous the first time, but I imagine after you get a few of them under your belt, you're like, yeah, I'm really actually making a change. I'm making this person acknowledge, you know, the problem that they refuse to admit is real. Like, I'm, You're the man in the arena when you do that. And it doesn't just have to be a Rex Jones or a Richie Torres. It can be anybody out there with the power of the internet and the power of the phone. Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. They use it to propagandize a lot of people to believe a lot of bad things. But also, you have the ability to actualize and get that message out there and communicate to the people in the same way a news network would. You are the media. I know Elon said that, but it's true. Like, you are the media now. And Jose, you made that very important step. What was the thing that finally made you stand up and say, I'm not going to be a bystander. I'm going to go confront these people?
You know, because I think, you know, years of being told you're supposed to go a certain way, you're supposed to do things the right way, and you start realizing right. that doesn't work. You just have to confront these people. You know, in fact, I didn't even start by interrupting people mid-speech or mid-presentation or anything like that. I actually was waiting at the podium. Like, when I confronted Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I didn't intend on standing up the way I did. I actually coordinated with my friend. I was like, hey, man, if you get the microphone first, you say this, this, and this. And then if I get the microphone, when I got there, they gave us index cards and pencils and said, oh, yeah, the congresswoman will be given a set of questions from you guys. Just write them down. And then they like threw them in some bargain bin or something or some bucket. And wow. People, they were not considered. They weren't used, basically. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to get my question through. So I'm going to have to just, you know, stand up. And that's why I decided to stand up. That's why I decided to go, you know what? Because I'm like, if I'm not going to be able to actually get heard right, I have to make myself get heard.
Yes.
And that's true for anything in life, too. You have to carve your own path. You have to make things happen because you have the power to do it.
Well, you're a student of the classics, as am I. Benjamin Franklin said, join together or die separately. That's what we got going on right now, man. We're all Americans. We got to join together on that fact. And the people oppressing us, the elite class profiting off of everybody else's pain, well, that means they're not us. That means that they worship money and, you know, not trying to make a better society and a better America for its people. And I really appreciate you, Jose, for coming on the show. And I want to tell people again, it's a votevega.nyc.
Vega.nyc, and I'm just going to make a big plea here.
Go ahead.
People can contribute, please do so. The limit is $3,500. You can't give more than that. So if you got that lying around, please do. But every dollar counts. We're actually trying to raise $6,000 by the end of this week because we have to print a whole bunch of my posters, a whole bunch of my cards. We've got a lot of motion. We've got a lot of things we need to get out. We have to get a bunch people going up and down buildings, going out into the streets of the Bronx to get this message.
Right.
If you can donate, votevega.nyc and volunteer and sign up to phone bank wherever you are in the country.
Wow. Thank you so much, Jose, for coming on the show. I think we're friends, met each other in person. I can't wait to see you again, to have you on the show again. You got to come on Gray Area soon. That's votevega.nyc. Everyone needs to go there. Hey, he just told you he's trying to wage info war. He's trying to get that message out there. If you're an info warrior, why not give him a buck? Why not give him 5, 10, 20? Who knows? Whatever you can afford, it's time to leave donkey, elephant, Democrat, Republican, left, right. It's time to leave that behind. And people that are out there standing up against the war criminals, standing up against the corrupt politicians, actually putting the microphone and camera in their face and holding them accountable, that's why I support Jose Vega for New York's 15th congressional district. That's why I think you should as well. And that's why I think you should donate. Go to votevega.nyc. And it truly is incredible, ladies and gentlemen, how the post-Trump era is coming, how all these new young candidates, candidates with experience, candidates with gravitas, candidates that are just, you know, appearing out of the woodwork. I'm starting to see them now. Even 6 months ago, I was like, who's running for Congress? Who's running for Senate? Who's going to be the president in 2028? Well, I think it's getting real spicy and real exciting. Following up with your calls, I want to hear from you, South Carolina especially, after this break. Thank you so much.
At midnight, Alex Jones was thrown out and locked out of his InfoWars studio along with his crew after the 8-year-long legal battle trying to shut him down and censor him is coming to a close. And liberal media are celebrating with headlines like this. The lights go out at Alex Jones InfoWars, and InfoWars.com, the domain name, now has a message that just says off air. But these people don't know anything about Alex Jones because if you just go to alexjoneslive.com, the website looks very similar to the old InfoWars website. And look at there! There is a live feed of his show, the Alex Jones Show, now just not using the InfoWars name, where he is continuing. It hasn't missed the beat. If you go to the Apple App Store and the Android App Store and search for AJN Live, you can download the new Alex Jones Live app where you can still listen to his show streamed live on your phone. Or you can just find and follow Alex Jones on Twitter, X, where he still has 4.5 million followers, because despite the lawyer's attempts to try to take his personal account, they failed. And you can see there the live icon around his profile photo shows that he is live streaming the show there on repeat 24/7.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at alexjoneslive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal. AlexJonesLive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.